Okay? Okay, so last week, or and let's say in the past, we spoke about the names of the Lord, whether they are names given to the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. One of these names is El Elyon, the Most High God. This name implies the sovereignty of God. Another name is Adonai. That means Lord. In other words, my great Lord. Jesus is the Master and the Majestic Lord. He's our total authority. Now, what is the definition of Lord? Because the title of the message is, I call him Lord. So what is the definition of Lord? A man of high rank, a king, a man of known power, one who has a mastery in a given field. How does Jesus compare to this definition? Well, regarding high rank, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Considering the power of the Almighty God is in him. His power is far beyond our wildest imagination. We don't know, as we sang this morning, we don't know the power in the name of Jesus. We don't know. As co-creator, we can say that he is a master in every field. Now, when we define Lord, we said one who has mastery in a given field. Well, Jesus has mastery in every field. We said as co-creator, he is a master in every field. And when you give him a request, he doesn't need to consult any textbook. Not at all. He knows exactly what to do, exactly how to handle your request. He is known as the incomparable Christ. John chapter 13, verse 13, which is up on the screen. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. We call Jesus Lord, but do we respond to him or treat him as Lord? Good question. Do we treat him as Lord in our words and actions and in our daily lives? Do we trust him as Lord of our lives? Or do we think that we have a better idea than the Lord does for our lives? Do we think we can choose a better path for our lives? One that is better than the one Jesus has chosen for us? I don't think so. Can't tangle with his infinite wisdom. We have accepted Jesus as Lord in our lives, but do we live our lives in the knowledge and the realization that he is sovereign Lord? Lord over our will? Lord of our lives and Lord of everything around us? How much of him have we accepted? How well do we know him, which we spoke about last week? How much time do we give the Lord as compared to how much time we give to other things? Things will pass away, but what you do for Jesus will never be lost. There is a saying, an old saying, says only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What priority do we give the Lord? In setting our priorities, we want to prioritize room for Jesus in our lives, a greater depth of the knowledge of who Jesus really is, and to reach out and touch him, as did the woman with the issue of blood. Imagine what she felt when she touched the hem of his garment. We want to reach out and touch him. Wow, how wonderful that would be. There can be no better priority in life than the Lord Jesus. How serious are we about our acceptance of the Lord in our lives? How serious are we about our commitment to him? We may have walked with Jesus many years, such as myself, and may have known him to a certain degree, but it's time to get very serious about our response to him and how much and how we serve him. Very serious about following his teachings. Very serious about our commitment to him. Jesus was very serious about his commitment to us, about going to the cross for us. We want to be very serious about our commitment to him. We need to seriously treat Jesus as Lord of our lives. What about levels of acceptance? We talk about accepting the Lord. What about levels of acceptance? How much of the Lord have we accepted into our lives? Where is our level of loyalty that goes with our acceptance of the Lord? Some people are loyal to a politician or to a political party. Why can't we be loyal to Jesus? Why don't we open our Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read a few short verses, 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 38 to 42. Now as they were traveling along, he entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord replied to her by saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen that good portion, which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her." Martha received the Lord into her home, as we receive the Lord into our lives, but was not spending time with him. Mary received the Lord into her life, and knowing her priorities, stopped what she was doing and spent time with him. She had a deeper level of acceptance of the Lord in her life. Mary made room and time for Jesus in her daily activities in her life. How much room and time do we make for Jesus? Or have the cares of this world choked out, replace the time that we should be giving to the Lord? Jesus spoke about the cares of this world choking out him and choking out time to be spent with him. Have the cares of this world and our lives choked out and replaced the time that we should be giving to the Lord? Jesus should be our top priority. How deep is our level of acceptance of the Lord in our lives? How far have we come in our walk with the Lord? It's a very good question. Now here's the reason why. I'm going to read to you Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Jesus speaking the night before his crucifixion. "And the Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Jesus was walking with the Lord. Now the previous question before I read these verses was, how far have we come in our walk with the Lord? Look what the Lord told Peter. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You mean Peter was walking with Jesus for 3 years at this point, and he wasn't converted yet? No. Jesus said, I'm not picking on Peter, God forbid. Jesus said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. How far have we come in our walk with the Lord? Are we truly converted to the Lord? Conversion means making 180. If I'm facing this way and I turn 180, I'm facing the wall back there. Are we converted, totally converted to the Lord? Have we made a 180-degree turn and looking head on at Jesus as we sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus? When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And notice how important this was. Jesus called Peter twice. Simon, Simon, behold. In other words, listen up to what I'm saying. He called Peter's name twice to call his attention. In his message to Peter, Jesus said, and when you are converted. Maybe this is why Jesus referred to him as Simon and not Peter, because he was not yet converted to the man that the Lord wanted him to be. And this morning, the question, am I converted? Are we converted? Doesn't matter how long we've been coming to church. Am I converted? Are we really converted to the Lord? Conversion, by definition, means to change into another form, to transform. You have to be transformed into the image of Christ. We call Jesus Lord. Are we converted yet? It's a real take home. We call Jesus Lord, but how serious are we in our walk with him? Is Jesus really Lord of our lives? There's an old saying, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I'm serious this morning, and it goes for me. I'm not exempt. If Jesus isn't Lord of all in our lives, he's not Lord at all. Do we really allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives? Are we committed to him? Are we giving the Lord control of our lives? Control is not something that we easily give to the Lord. Is he in the driver's seat, or do we still want to be in control of our lives, even though we've messed up in the past? We all have. I know I did. When we're taking a flight, do we go in the cockpit and tell the pilot how to fly the plane or in what direction to go? We trust the pilot with our lives, so why can't we trust God and give him control of our lives? How does God feel that we could trust a pilot and not him? That's like insulting God. The point is that we can trust the Lord to be in the driver's seat of our lives so that we give control to him. Let's face it, we have all messed up in one way or another in life. We want to give control of our lives to the Lord. We sing to him, I surrender all. But do we really surrender all to him? Are we really surrendering our will our desires, our hearts, our minds. A line from the hymn, "Give of the Best to Your Master," states, give of your best to the Master, give Him first place in your heart. Give Him first place in your service, consecrate every part. Give of your best to the Master, nothing else is worthy His love. He gave His life for your ransom, gave up His glory above. Are we giving our best to the Master Jesus this morning? This morning would be a good idea to examine our lives to see if we are really treating Jesus as Lord of our lives. Is it only a part of our heart or mind that we are surrendering to Jesus? He wants everything, and He's got the right to ask for it. I mean, He made us, and He died for our salvation. So He wants everything, and He has certainly a right to ask for it. He made us, He bought us with His blood, His life. He gave His all to us at Calvary. What more could He have done? Are we giving the Lord control of our lives, or do we think that we could do better than Him? We might be willing to treat Jesus as Lord if we realize that we can't put a value on Him or our salvation. Our salvation is priceless, and Jesus gave everything for our salvation. So this morning, how much of Jesus are we willing to accept? What could we say about our Lord Jesus? Well, a nice introductory, some introductory verses would be Psalm 45, verses 1 and 2, which I'll read to you. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the King, Jesus. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. When you study Jesus, your heart and your mind overflow with the thought of who He is. Your heart and mind cannot contain Him. We could at best only begin to scratch the surface of who Jesus is and what He means to us, all that He means to us in our lives. These truths about the Lord bring us to the ultimate question, that is, how much of Jesus have we accepted, or how much of Jesus do we want in our lives? Know something? You are only going to get as much of Jesus in your life as you want. Only want a little bit of Him in your life, that's all you're going to get. You want a lot of Him, you're going to get a lot of Him. This morning we sang, and Jesus said, come to the water. When was the last time you were at the beach and you looked at the ocean and the vastness of it? Now, when you look at the ocean from the beach over here, you're seeing about, your visibility on a good day is 10 miles. So when you look at the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean is about 3,000 miles across. So when you look at the ocean, the 3,000 divided by 10, you're looking at one-tenth of the ocean. Put it this way, you're only seeing 10 miles of the ocean. You're only seeing 1/300th of the ocean. 1/300th is all you're seeing of the ocean on a clear day, 3,000 divided by 10. What Jesus has to offer us is greater than the Atlantic Ocean. It's greater than the Pacific Ocean, which is the biggest ocean on the planet. What Jesus has to give us of Himself goes into the range of infinity. How much of him do we want this morning? You're only going to get as much as you want. Let him fill you to overflowing. We sang this morning, he will pour floods upon the dry ground. Not showers of blessing, but floods on the dry ground. Have we come to the understanding and realization that Jesus is sovereign Lord of our lives? Are we accepting his sovereignty over our lives? Or have we placed our own limit on how much of Jesus we will accept in our lives? There should be no limit of how much we will accept Jesus in our lives. If we put a limit on how much of Jesus we are accepting in our lives, we are missing out on the greatest blessing and fulfillment in our lives. If we knew him better, we would accept and want his sovereignty in our lives. Isaiah 44, verse 3, for I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. In giving of himself, the Lord will pour floods upon the dry ground, but how much of him do we want in our lives? The Lord has so much to offer us, but maybe we've only walked up to the edge of the ocean. We haven't fully accepted him yet. We've only gotten our feet wet. And Jesus is saying to us, come in, come in, come in. Or are we like a corked bottle in the ocean? Good question. Are we like a corked bottle in the ocean? The oceans are vast, as we just said. What the Lord has to offer us is infinitely greater than even the oceans. This morning, are we going to remove the cork from the bottle and receive all that God has for us? He is a very generous, infinitely good-hearted God. And the Lord is saying, open up to me. Open up to me. Let me fill you. And when he fills to overflowing. A corked bottle in an ocean can't get any water, even though the oceans are vast. And if we remain close to the Lord, we won't receive anything from him. We want to pop the cork this morning and receive all that Jesus has for us. How do you pop the cork? By getting thirsty for Jesus. If you're not thirsty for Jesus, ask the Lord to make you thirsty for him. And I'm telling you, he will. When the person is thirsty, he or she drinks. I know when you're really thirsty, that water tastes so good. Well, imagine the living water that Jesus wants to fill us with. We want to be thirsty for Jesus or more of him and drink living water that he spoke of. We want to be filled to overflowing, and Jesus will fill to overflowing. He doesn't fill just to the rim. He fills to overflowing. This morning, we want to examine our understanding of the sovereignty of the Lord. We want to be serious about our acceptance and commitment to Jesus and receive all that he has for us. We want to genuinely accept him and commit to him as sovereign Lord of our lives. We want to surrender to him as the one and only sovereign Lord. So I'm going to stop there. We're going to get down to pray. If someone would like to lead in a word of prayer to conclude the message, and then we will sing a final hymn.